Yeah. Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What's up, Dregs?
Oh, I'm just enjoying the commentary, and congratulations to Tyler Young.
Yes.
$3,500. I could do some damage at Golf Town. That's $3,500.
Dregs, you know
where would
what's
you
up.
Start?
You're a golfer.
Where would you start, Dregs? Like, what do you need right now in your bag, or what do you need for garb that if $3,500 came your way at Golf Town, like, where would you head?
That's a good question. I've got one of those electric carts. You know, like, I'm not a senior citizen yet, but I tried this thing a couple of years ago and loved it because it's got a remote control and you can beetle that thing all over the golf course and walk without any sort of nonsense. And I got this one actually as a gift, either birthday or Father's Day from my family. And there are some really nice electric carts out there now. So
they are unreal. Just start cruising and it's just following behind you. It's like a dog on a leash.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Like, I don't know if you went to like a public course and could you bring your own golf cart? Say you had your own.
No, I don't know how that works. No. That's a good question.
That noodles, you're showing your Western Canadian here a little bit.
Why? What's that goat ranch? No. I don't want to. You can't just roll into
Winchester. I think Hayes lives on the ninth hole or something.
I do. You could see my backyard from the tee.
But like,
I gotta
be
careful.
You can't, like, so Hayes has, like, you live close to a golf course. You can't just drive out of your garage in a cart and roll up to the course?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, are they? I've never even thought to do that. I don't own a cart.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, maybe in rural Ontario, like really rural. I play at Royal Ashburn all the time, which is not that far from where Brian and I live. And you can't do it there. So I'm talking about small town rural because I remember as a 20-something going back to Saskatchewan. And in fact, you know, the golf course that I grew up playing, a little nine-holer near the home of Jeff Odgers, Spy Hill, Saskatchewan, Carlton Trail. A beautiful, beautiful little nine-hole golf course. All the members there have their own carts, and they have cart sheds, or, you know, there's camping sites, and they pull in their big fifth-wheel trailers, they call it a cottage or a cabin, and they build a little hut for their golf carts, and they store them there, you know, 12 months a year. So I guess they still do in parts of the world.
Yeah, they must. So you had an impressive tweet. Like, I guess I'll give you credit for this, Dregs. You're the one behind this, where 1,500 tests a day in the bubbles in Edmonton and in Toronto, and, you know, quick turnaround and not a positive test. This has got to be... No. You know, just so gratifying for the NHL, and I credit them and the players. And the same thing with the NBA; they've done the same thing down in the bubble in Orlando. But this had to be, you know, the what was making them hold their breath. And I'm sure they're still not completely relieved yet, nor should they be. But this is a big step that we're on the verge of games and no positive testing.
Well, it feels that way, even though, you know, the Twitter people are going to come out swinging and there's going to be nonsense, which is fine. But from an NHL perspective, they are achieving their goals, obviously. They wanted to be as healthy as possible getting into phase four into Toronto and Edmonton, and then felt if they were able to do that, then they could really protect everyone involved. And you can't minimize risk entirely. You can't, you know, wipe it out entirely. You're never going to be able to do that until there's a vaccination and we all get the vaccination. But this is a huge step in the right direction because it tells you that everyone, at least for now, is playing by the rules. And again, I take a shot at you know, the Twitter doctors, because there will be some who will quickly identify that, okay, well, we're 6 days into the testing. So let's see where we're at the 10-day mark. Right. I don't know. I mean, where is that mark? Is it 10 days? Is it 2 weeks? All I know is I'm impressed by the numbers alone. Like 1,500 in each hub. So 3,000 tests per day.
Wow.
Since Sunday. You know, you're pushing 20,000 tests. I mean, yeah, that's an incredible amount of testing, at great expense, as it should be, because the NHL has made it clear they're not jumping the queue. And the turnaround time on these tests is 24 hours or less, which is equally impressive. So, yeah, it's certainly a sign of good news, to be sure.
I think it is. I think it's fantastic, and it shows the commitment to, you know, I was just texting about 2 hours ago with a coach and said, he's in the bubble. He just said it's a really fantastic setup. He goes, the NHL deserves a ton of credit for how well they've put this together and how organized they are. Now, it is weird, like you mentioned, dregs like this, the amount of testing and guys wearing masks, and it's, you know, it's got a tournament feel to it. That's the one thing that one of the guys was saying to me. It was almost like a world championships where you're running into guys and you see each other, but, you know, everyone's kind of sticking to their own, I guess, not floor, but their own area right now. I think it's kind of like, hey, how you doing right now? I think it's going to get a little bit grittier once you start playing for all the marbles here. It's kind of been not fun in games, but it's been buddy-buddy for a bit. But once you start to dig in here, you're going to see guys kind of stick to close to home and just worry about winning games. And that's really what they're in there for, a commitment for 2 months to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So Paul Maurice was on the Ray and Dregs podcast yesterday. And, well, two things. Number one, he was freezing. He was doing the interview either from the practice facility or from Rogers Place. I'm not sure. But the ice crews have dialed it in, right? So these buildings are cold. So he was freezing. But he made a point, and because we asked him, you know, what's the experience like? You know, has it been difficult from a coaching perspective, you know, getting your players motivated, all of that, and you know, getting them to buy into the whole bubble idea and the fact that they're there for one reason, and that's to compete and try and win a Stanley Cup. And the point that he made was automatic, no, it hasn't been difficult at all. And he reflected back. He said that he's been around four work stoppages in his time in the National Hockey League. And he says, as a coach, those things are always difficult when you come out. And Noodles, perhaps you can comment on this, because, you know, you went through, what, a couple as a player.
Went through three.
And well, there you go. And he said it would be a month, maybe a couple months, before players stop pissing and moaning about how they got screwed by the owners. And the owners are so cheap. And this and that, that's coming out of a work stoppage. So he said, that's the only thing that I can relate it to, is because we've had this long pause and now we're all in. And he goes, not a single complaint. Nobody really, from the moment they arrived in Winnipeg, from what the training camp looked like, the expectations, the fact that they have to leave their families, they get to Edmonton, they're in the bubble. They're not bitching about food. I mean, everything, he said, like, not a single person has complained, you know, to him as a coach or to any of the staff. And he goes, man, is that refreshing. Because he goes, it almost takes me back to my junior days when you embraced the bonding environment. And he goes, now, check back with me on day 25. And then day 50, you know, if we're still around, you know, the tune might change a little bit as these guys get cabin fever. But at least for the most part, everybody recognizes what's at stake and they're all in.
Yeah, well, and I think that's an understandable mentality. They're all humans, and I think we've all realized and we've all come to the conclusion that we're pretty lucky. And throughout this, you know, 3-4 month pandemic that continues, when we're all sitting at home and we can't leave our house, I think we'd all cherish the idea of being able to get out and go do things and go work and go hang around with buddies and your teammates. And it's all fresh right now. They're just getting in. They're still learning the ways of the whole operation. And the real stuff will start tomorrow night. And, you know, someone is going to win the Stanley Cup. Someone's getting their name on it. Someone's going to get a ring. They won't do it in front of their home fans. They may not have a parade, but someone's going to get there. But I think when we look back on this, our feeling that, okay, they did find a way to capture lightning in the bottle is if rivalries are developed, you know, throughout the next 2 months. Yeah. And I hope that they will be, because, right, guys, like every other year, every other playoff, it's like, wow, this team hates the other team now. Like, these two teams, I can't wait to see them play next year because of that battle. If we can get that in this run, in this two-month run, then it will feel very normal. Like we've established something that happens every other year. It's just this one happened to be in a bubble.
Yeah, Brian,
just to interject there, you know, Brian, you raise an interesting but a really on-target point in that it's going to be different. You know, okay, there's going to be a Stanley Cup handed out, and we're never going to take that away. There shouldn't be an asterisk. All that stuff is garbage. It's nonsense because these guys are going to play hard, and whoever wins it is going to earn it. But... Yeah, and I know the Perfetti family well. My son grew up playing with Cole pretty much all through minor hockey. And I say this, you know, about any of the draft eligible players. This whole year has been a takeaway for these kids and for hockey, for pro sport, or for sport in general, right? You know, to not be able to walk up on that stage and have your name announced, you know, as a top five, top 10 pick, a first round pick, whatever, to not have the experience of going to the Stanley Cup final as the top prospects do and enjoying that. And then you forward it to, you know, the Stanley Cup experience, and it's not going to be the same. Yes, you're going to have your name on that trophy. You've earned it. And good on you. You know, you'll live in history. I understand all that. But when all this is said and done, it's going to feel kind of sad, isn't it? Because of that, of the experience and experiences that all these players have worked their entire lives to get to a point to earn.
Well, and the whole draft process is one that I'm curious to see how this plays out. Like, we don't know what the CHL is doing. We don't know what college hockey's doing. Like, what happens next year, Dregs, if there isn't seasons? How do you have a draft? What happens with the players and their development? Have you heard anything on that?
No, I mean, they continue to work on it. I mean, the BC Junior League is one of the few leagues that has come out to say, well, we're not starting until December 1st. We're going to mimic the NHL. Right. Here in Ontario, I think the CCHL has acknowledged that they want to start in the Ottawa area in early October. I'll believe it when I see it, especially based on some of the COVID numbers that you're seeing around Ottawa. So, you know, and I reached out to Dave Branch, specific to the OHL, maybe a week or so ago. And as he should, he said, look, we're in constant communication with the province and with the health authorities, you know, not just, you know, in Ontario, but nationally as well. And that's how they're guided. But, I mean, of course it's going to have influence. It's going to have influence at every level of hockey. You know, again, not to go back into minor hockey, but I feel for the kids who, you know, all over the country, who, you know, are working hard and have worked hard and, you know, would love to be drafted by, you know, the Edmonton Oil Kings or the Oshawa Generals.
Right.
But how do you go through that? You know, if these kids aren't actually playing, you know, you're going off their Bantam years or whatever their last year was. So, I mean, yeah. I guess in terms of the bigger scope, it's a, yeah.
It is. I think, you know, I talking to a WHL coach today, he said he thought it was unrealistic for them to be projecting like early October and that. I think it would mirror, if the AHL came out and said, hey, we're going to try and go get this going December 1st, I think you're looking at that type of area for a lot of these, let's call them lower leagues, where if you could have a half a junior season, probably, let's be realistic and say January after the World Juniors, like could you maybe get something going for that? Like that would probably be beneficial for everyone once you know that potentially you could have people in the building. A lot of these leagues rely on gate driven, like you walk up, like you need the fans in the stands. Sure. So this, they don't have the television contracts. They don't have, you know, some of the resources that other leagues do to keep things afloat. So there is a trickle down effect. And Dregs, you're right. Like you're looking at young players who their development potentially could be hurting because they're not, you know, being placed in situations to play games and to have some normalcy in their lives. But that's not just reserved for sports. That's every day. You know, all of us have kids that aren't going to be in school or potentially in school or haven't been around their friends for several months. And, you know, it everyone's got their own unfortunate, sad story about COVID. It's how you come out of it. That's the biggest challenge.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely. And you know, we're not there yet. I don't know where we are in the tunnel. I don't know if we see the light or not. I guess we'll find out once we get to it. But from a sports perspective, we got games tomorrow. Stanley Cup playoffs kicking off tomorrow. Yep, thankfully. And we're all looking forward to that. And, you know, baseball's going until they shut it down. Basketball's going. We got some stuff cooking here. So we'll get through the weekend, and we'll break it all down early next week. Thank you, Dregs.
All right, boys, you have a good weekend.
Yep, there he is, Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. How many games do we have tomorrow? Five games tomorrow,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, it's right from noon right to 10:30. Last start is Winnipeg-Edmonton.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Winnipeg-Calgary. Mm-hmm. But there's that noon game starts. So it's,
That's Rangers-Carolina, I think,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is steady tomorrow.
It's a long day of hockey.
I'll be watching him. I'm fired up about
too.
It.
I'm looking forward to it. Again, I'm going into it. I do not feel the same way I would on your standard eve of the Cup playoffs. And I've accepted that. I know it. But it doesn't mean I'm not compelled. I am. I'm intrigued. And I feel like my interest level is going to grow and grow and grow as it goes on. And I hope that that's the case, because it's the same thing with basketball. I was looking forward to the games, and I watched the games last night, and I thought they were fun games. But I think there's more to give. And I think once we get over and get past the uniqueness of the viewing experience and, the fans aren't there, or this feels weird, or this feels different, when it just becomes routine, there's a game on tonight, big game tonight, big game tonight, big game tonight. Did you see that overtime? Did you see that shot? Did you see that save? It'll start to feel more normal in terms of just the interactions, right, and the narratives and the conversations that revolve around it.
Yeah, you're not going to be focused on the little things. You're just going to focus on the big picture.
Yeah, exactly, which I think we could all use that escape right now. Agreed. And sports is hopefully going to supply that.